You might not hear it here first, but the conversation here is different because it includes you. Politics, diversity, religion, social justice, and what the hell were you thinking moments. Thought-provoking, inspirational, and sometimes shocking. Welcome to the Winner's Circle. Annette Lateague is here. It's time for Word on the Curb.
Hey, I'm Annette. I'm here with you tonight at Word on the Curb podcast studio. I am happy to have you here. As you can see, and I don't know if you can read, my little thing over here in the Black Girls Locker Room, it says Solidarity Wins. And it does. In everything we do and with everybody we deal with, solidarity wins. Tonight, as you can see on the screen, I have a very special guest. And before I get into it, I want to remind you that we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook on three pages, and we're everywhere podcasts are and wherever you want to be. I hope that you'll join us. We're talking about Word on the Curb. And what that means is we're talking about people, places, and things on our curb, in our neighborhoods, in our community, and how it impacts us. And so tonight, again, I have a very special guest. He needs no introduction, and I'm really excited to have him here tonight. The former and first Black mayor of the city of Trenton, Douglas H. Palmer. See us on YouTube, like, subscribe, share, and ring the bell. This is an occasion here with this podcast where we want you to put all of our business in the street. Welcome, Mayor.
Hey, it's my pleasure. You know, I don't know what I did to deserve being on your show, Word on the Curb, but I'm glad to be here. It doesn't matter how long it took. I know part of it was my fault, part of it was my fault, but I'm glad to be here. And I want to congratulate you on your podcast and all the people that listen to you and get involved in Trenton. So thank you very much. And I logged on 10 minutes before just so I didn't miss it. So thank you for allowing me to be here on your show.
I'm happy that you're here. Mayor, one of the things I want you to know about podcasting is people will watch you now and later. They will see you now and in the future in this podcast. And we've been up to 5,000 views throughout the entire social media platform. The algorithm tracks it for us. And so we know that. And we're happy about that, that we're reaching that many people. So it's good to be here tonight. If you come on and you don't allow live stream to share your name, I will not recognize you or respond to any of your comments. So please know that. I have a Facebook user on now. The only thing I can see is Facebook user. When you connect to YardStream for podcasting, it asks if you will allow YardStream to use your name. If you don't say no, you'll be sitting there and I will erase the comments if you make any. So thank you again for joining us. Mayor, I have a few questions for you.
Yes.
Just a few things I'd like to know. Haven't had the opportunity to serve with you. There are some things I know about then, but there's a lot less that I know about now. So this podcast is about then and now. One of the first things I want to, you know, ask is, what's your favorite thing to do post-mayor? What are you doing?
Well, I'll tell you, one of my favorite things to do, and even when I was mayor, I'm very involved in sports. Okay, I played baseball in the West End Little League, West End Babe Ruth League, Trenton Schroats. In high school, I went to Bordentown Military Institute and then went to Hampton. I was a baseball player. I was, you know, pretty good. So I love sports.
Wait a minute. That pretty good thing. Just answer the question. Could you play or not?
Yeah, it was good. As a matter of fact, I was honored and blessed just in March of this year to be inducted in Hampton University, my alma mater, Sports Hall of Fame. I was, you know, all CIAA. I was all everything in Mercer County area in baseball. And really, baseball has been such a part of my life that it always is with me. So I love to watch sports on TV, go with my wife and daughter to sporting events, although they don't always like to do it. But I love to watch sports and go to sporting events. And, you know, that's what I like to do. I don't play golf. I don't do those things. I just like to watch sports. So that's my passion.
That's your passion. All right. Your passion is baseball, sports. And that's
and
a good
football thing. And basketball and the
I love football and basketball.
World Series with women and all that.
Who's your team? Who's your football team?
Dallas Cowboys.
Well, all right then.
Hey, haters, if you're going to hate, you got to do your job. Cowboys. And people, you know, and that people ask me, you're in Philly and New York areas. Why would you want to be with the Cowboys? Well, when I grew up, when I was a youngster in the early 60s, the Cowboys had more black players than anybody. I mean, they really did. And you would see the Cowboys play twice against the Redskins, now the Commanders, twice against the Giants, twice against the Eagles, and they were on Thanksgiving. I mean, it was only 11 games at that time. And I gravitated to seeing how many black players there were on the Cowboys. And they've been my team ever since. I'm not happy with them or the owner to the extent of, he picks good teams, but I'm true blue, Dallas Cowboy, ride or die. And lately we haven't been doing anything in a generation. Still with them. You always got to be with your team, no matter what.
That's right. And I am a Cowboys fan, have been for quite some time for multiple reasons. I am also not happy, but I'm going to rock that star until the day I die, that Dallas Cowboys star. And one of the surprise guests that I have tonight is also a Cowboy fan. He'll be coming on, you know, when you're finished, just to share a little bit about why Cowboys rock. You know, but Mayor, so let's get into some stuff here just for a bit. Tell me, honestly, given the opportunity, between then and now, if you had the opportunity, what would you change?
Well, you know, you look back at your life, and I'll be 72 in October, and you look at your life and say, if I could change something. But quite frankly, you know, I was blessed all my life, blessed to be born and raised in Trenton, to Dorothy Vaughn and George Palmer, who came up here from Charleston. Have a wonderful sister, my only sibling, and wonderful nephews, Palmer and Walker. And all my life.
Shout out to Karen.
Yeah, and I've been blessed. So if you say, what would I change? I wouldn't change anything, although, man, I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. I made a lot of mistakes as mayor. But they all helped me learn and be the person I am. So I wouldn't change anything. I really wouldn't. But there's some things that I wish I could have done different. But I'm happy where I am and what I was able to do in Trenton as mayor.
Let's talk about that a little bit. What were some of your greatest strengths and failures as mayor?
Well, I think one of the greatest strengths I had was growing up in Trenton all my life. Being involved. I mean, my mom and dad had me so involved in everything. I mentioned I played in the Western Little League. I was in the PAL Cub League with Winfield Layton. My first coach was African-American with PALs on the Dodgers. I played instruments. I played four instruments. The piano, the trumpet, the violin, the French horn, and I was involved in the Carver Center. Carver Center had a band, and I was in that. I was involved in the Boy Scouts at Har Sinai Temple, a Jewish temple. Mm. I was involved in everything. My mom and dad had me involved you know, and everything. So it just made me the person that I am, and also helped me realize what we could do in Trenton. So I think my greatest strength was coming up in grassroots, and wasn't even called grassroots then, working with everybody, blacks, whites, and even Latinos, and getting to know people for people. And that, and my, so my biggest strength was to be able to work with all kinds of people, see them as they were, and to bring people together. Because you have to, and you know this, because Annette, you were there when I was mayor, but being the first African-American mayor, Trenton, at a time in 90, when people didn't even think you could have a black mayor. As a matter of fact, when I first said I was going to run, and I was a county freeholder, they said, Trenton ain't ready. And that was the word they used. They ain't ready for a black mayor, and they wouldn't vote for you. But I had people like Dr. Emmons and Reverend Woodson and Johnny Watson, of course, and others that pushed me. And my greatest strength is not forgetting where I came from, having people around me, being involved in the community, and bringing people together. That was, I believe, my greatest strength. Because when you become, it's different now, but back then, Trenton wasn't even a majority black city. You had a lot of Caucasians and some Latinos. And I had to work with all of them. And I was able to do it because of how I was raised and brought up and working with people and going out there and talking to them and making sure that the issues that involved Trenton weren't just black issues or white issues or Latino issues. They were all our issues. And the only way we can get better if we work together. And so with the great staff I had and people on council that, like you and others, that believed in me, that was my strength, bringing people together and sharing a vision and including them. Now, my weakness is sometimes it takes me too long to make a decision, but that's the Libra in me. And I wish I had done things quicker, but at the end of the day, I'll stand on my record and what I did, and I'm proud of what we all accomplished.
It takes time, but you mentioned some things that I don't really want to blow past because it's important. You mentioned that although folks did not believe the city was ready, there were in fact people who believed in you. That's the leadership that helped make a difference. And tonight, I'd just like to reiterate that John Watson and Reverend Woodson were active, not just in politics, but in the community. And I think that made a difference. And John Watson believed in people. He didn't have to know. John Watson was a man who didn't have to know who you were to help you. He would help you simply because he believed in his people.
And you know,
unfortunately, that's not always what happens now.
No, but you know, there are so many other people, which is what gives, I think, both of us a perspective. Eleanor Raines.
Jenny Stubblefield.
Yeah. There are just so many people that were involved, and a lot of women, Mildred Thomas, and it's just so many people that were involved. We didn't always get along because I was a guy coming up and we were anxious like the young people today, and they were saying, hold up, hold up. But they were guiding forces to me, and they helped. And so, you know, and that what I look at now in my life and experience is to help the young generation that's coming up.
That's right.
I am so, man, I'm so optimistic about the young people that are coming up. Just look at what we have on council. You've got Yasminelli Gonzalez. You've got Jossie, Crystal, a lot of young people that are involved, even Austin Edwards and my nephew Pump. You've got young people, Teron, and the list goes on, of young people in their 30s, early 40s, that are taking up the mantle. And what I love about them, is not only are they committed, but they don't push us aside. They don't say, that was that. They may not agree or whatever, but they want to hear our opinion. And that helps me, that helps us, and that's going to help our city, because we are at a crossroads, and we're going to do great things because we have young people and the elders that really care about moving this city and county forward. It's all about unity and coming together.
Solidarity, as it says in the background, solidarity wins. And so I think it's important to recognize, too, that when you push aside your experience, you're headed for brick walls you don't have to hit. Because learning from the past helps us grow a better future. We didn't get everything right, and neither will this council or mayor. We didn't get it all right, but we did do some good things. And I think that we absolutely did some good things. And those are things to remember. I think one of the greatest challenges for me then, and even now, and having been an executive at the board, is that so many people expect you to fix everything that happened since slavery. And not only do they expect you to fix it, but they don't want to play a role in the fixing. So I'm as excited as you are about the young people who want to be engaged. I'm excited about people who have a real interest in understanding and learning the game, because politics is difficult. It's not always easy. And if you're going to accomplish your goals, you better keep principles before personalities. Otherwise, you're going to fail.
Well, you know, what's interesting now, what I didn't have to deal with, or you didn't have to deal with, the social media is just, it's a dynamic that I'm still learning about. So as I see it, that's an issue, it's good or bad. But with the problems that we have in terms of violence, gun violence in the city, it can't be accepted. Sometimes we can get desensitized to it, but we as a community have to say, this is not acceptable. I think there are groups in the churches and young people that are going to be working together and speaking up about it. I think we have a role as elders to listen and to work with folks that want to do things, because there's no way we can accept people getting shot, a three-year-old getting killing themselves with a gun, shootings going on. And you know, I had it when I was mayor. Joe Santiago helped us reduce crime, but there's more than just police. You need a comprehensive plan and leadership and people coming together. And like you always say, mental health. Mental health is a big issue. It's a big issue everywhere. Young people are committing suicides at record level. And you know, back in the day, we used to look at it as people committing suicide. Oh, that's a white thing. It's not a white thing anymore. It's a black thing. It's a gay thing. It's a Latino thing. It's an Asian thing. Mental health. And it didn't help because COVID, these young people felt isolated. And so what do we do with all this information? Do we just say, oh my God, they're shooting again? No, we have to work, and we are, and we will work with everyone, bring them together. We have to change the dynamic in health, maternal health, economic development, literacy, and I'm up for it. I tell you, Annette, Councilwoman, I am up for it, and I know you are, and I can't wait, because use me, and also not use me. I'm gonna help lead, and I'm gonna lead not like here I am, but I'm gonna lead by working with leaders and helping them push an agenda that we collectively look at, and how we're gonna help Black people in Mercer County, who are at the bottom of all the statistics, help us reach our full potential. And I'm fully engaged in that. I am fully engaged in that, and look forward to seeing it happen and doing it. It's not going to be easy. Like you said, there's going to be personalities. Oh, I don't like him. I don't like her. Why are they this? Who is he? Who's she? At the end of the day, our babies can't afford us fighting. And I think with the people that we have, and I'm going to start mentioning names because there are people that have been engaged and that have always agreed with me or disagreed with me, but I'm willing to reach out with all of us because they have good hearts and they're still in the fight. And we're going to do it.
And Mayor, you know what? Getting it done is what matters. Even during our tenure, you know, working to try to bring the community to the table, because the police director can only do but so much. We cannot harbor guns and drugs and then cry foul. We have to get involved. We have to say no more. We have to be a part of our community in that we refuse to allow violence and you know, these shootings to run rampant, and they are. And so, you know, yo, listen, get your kids.
Well, you know, there's a fear about this too. You know, people want to help or they want to get involved, but they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
We have to confront that, and we have to have many conversations with social service people, healthcare people, mental health people, elected officials, the hospitals, everybody's got a role on what we can do, because let's face it, if Trenton's not safe, who's going to have their children, my children, anybody else, go to events there? Who's going to develop there? So safety is paramount, and everyone should feel safe. So we will come up with a plan involving everybody.
We need the community's participation.
Absolutely. And the community to recognize that you're not in this by yourself, and that just having people shot is not acceptable.
No, mother.
It wasn't acceptable. We had things. It's not acceptable. And I'd never want us to get desensitized to violence. As mayor in 05 and 06, and you know, we went through hell, because that's when that was the tipping point of the gangs, and they were Bloods and Crips were walking around with bandanas, shooting people in the head. I'd never seen anything like that. No, none of us experienced it. And I got there to the party there late. Not that that's a party. I got there late. But Joe Santiago, my police director that I brought in, he changed the whole thing, which we saw progress. But it's unacceptable. And there's a multi-approach that we have to do. And the first thing is, we have to talk about it. As mayor, wherever I went during that time, I talked about crime. If I was speaking at the chamber, I talk about crime. You may say, well, talk about what's going on with the ballpark, the hotel. Yeah, but I also talk about crime. Because the mayor, and I'm not just talking about Mayor Gussiora, I'm talking about, if you're the leader of a city, you got to talk about crime every day. Joe Santiago would say to his police officers, He said, if you're not talking about crime, you're talking about something that I have no interest in. As mayor, I wanted to make sure the people knew that I was working on it. And that's what the people need in the city. They need to know that the mayor and elected officials are dealing with this every day, because when I was mayor, okay, I lived in Hiltonia. I don't see what's going on at Miller Home, Donley, or Sweets Avenue, or Center Street. But those people that live there, they see it every day. And they want to make sure that the mayor and those folks are thinking about it and trying to do something. So you got to talk about it every day and do something to let them know. I feel you, and I'm working on it every day, every day. And we're going to have to work together and really, crime shootings are unacceptable. We have to look at the myriad of issues that's happening. And as a community, we can do it. Man, I'm just so optimistic about Trenton's future and present because of the young people and elders like you and others. You know, the John.
Stop referring to me as an elder.
Headings, the just
Mayor everything. Palmer.
Yeah.
Stop referring to me as an elder, okay?
All right, but I'm an elder. I don't mind.
Be who you are.
Who else are the elders? Nobody older than us. That's
you know. Oh no! You're digging a deeper hole here.
No, there's nobody.
I'm just kidding.
You know, I had to realize that.
We've been around for a while.
Reverend Woods is gone. Johnny Watts is gone. Catherine Graham, Jeremy Stubblefield, they're gone. Eleanor Rain. Gone. We're it.
And I'm willing to be it. I'm in partnership with those who are interested in rebuilding and growing the city. Do we have challenges? Absolutely. We had them then. They're greater now. And I would suggest that as Cordelia Staten has said, hey, Cordelia, welcome in, has said, the community being involved is a must. You had Joe Santiago. You had Irvin Bradley. You had, who was the guy before that? Armitage? Golden. You had Golden, and then there was somebody else.
Well, all I can tell you is, we didn't have nobody until we had Joe Santiago because he changed the whole paradigm. But to me, the biggest obstacle that we have is to try to get this community, which is so diverse, and I'm just talking about the Black community, and that has so many other things, to get some unity there so that we're on a trajectory to move forward. And I tell you, it can be done. And I'll tell you how it can be done. Back in the 70s, when there was an elected school board, which we have now, which I'm not for, but we have to deal with it.
Big mistake.
When there was an elected school board, the Black community was fighting Chambersburg for control of the district. And each side was fighting. The side Chambersburg would win every year because you'd have 12 African Americans and some Latinos run for 3 seats.
Mm-hmm.
It was a recipe for failure because right. if the people in Chambersburg really were progressive or looked at the whole thing, but it was more political on their part. It doesn't matter if they were Chambersburg, if they're doing the right thing, like Mr. Contardo was an outstanding board member that was doing the right thing. But when you have 12 people run for 3 seats every year, you're going to lose. So the community realized this, and we had an organization called BUE, Black Organizations United for Education. And we had, at that time, my organization, Success Incorporated, became WE Incorporated, the African People's Action Movement, mm-hmm. Latino groups. We had a convention at Shiloh Church, and all the people from our community that wanted to run for school board would come to the convention. It was on a Friday night. We had voting machines in Shiloh, and it was like a convention. And they would say why they wanted to be there, and we'd ask them questions. But the organization said, whoever wins will be our candidates. And we did that. Can you imagine? You had people like Alexander Brown won, Peter Harris, which was a white guy, won. Cullen Banks, Nick Walker, Bill Young. I mean, this is what came of unity. And they made real progress in education at that time. I know that with the young people and the elders and others, we can bring that same unity again because we have to.
I think that some of the things that have happened in the past are extremely important to the future. And as you speak to that, I'm speaking to your directors, your police directors who met with the public, who engaged the public, who changed the game, who brought new ideas and opportunity to the community in terms of public safety. And that didn't just happen with one, in my opinion, it happened with several. Everybody bought a small piece. And so, as you speak to that, you're also speaking to how we dealt with multiple people being interested in the same seat. I think that's an idea that needs to be rebirthed with our younger community and our younger group. I do believe that everybody who wants to run should have the opportunity to run. But if we have the opportunity to vet them out, I think we can avoid a lot of the things that's happened in the past, some of which I, in fact, participated in. And so, Mayor, you make some very, very good points. You know, there's weaknesses, there's strengths, there's building, there's commitment, there's solidarity, and there's community. But here's what I want to say. In terms of everything that you said, solidarity is always going to win. We have to know what we want and agree on that, and then agree on how we get it.
And, you know, it's going to take time. You know, you can't tell a person, because nobody could tell me I couldn't run for something. But I think it's important to have dialogue with those that want to run. Sometimes people want to run because they want to make a difference, but there's other ways that they can make a difference in between elections. You can serve on boards and commissions for the city. You can learn. We need to make sure that we can learn the system.
Yes.
So that we can be effective leaders. You don't always have to be elected to make a difference in your city.
Right.
Some people just have the burning desire. I get it. But we also need to open opportunities, which is why, you know, Annette, I have to mention why also I'm so excited. After 20 years of Brian Hughes being county executive, and he had done some good things, it was time for a change. And you and myself and Janine LaRue, Sam Frisbee, went with Dan Benson. Now, he won the Democratic nomination, and he's going to run against a Republican. I think what's exciting about him is he recognizes that the county has to do more than just run the courts, have a good golf course, good parks, which we have, and fix roads. He realizes that the county has an opportunity through public investment to create real jobs, not county jobs, real economic development jobs, open up opportunities for African-Americans, Latino, and women businesses that haven't had it before to create jobs, also to be a real player as relates to education with Mercer County Community College and what that campus can be physically and what they can offer for students, and also to be a player with the state to push them to help us give transformational projects that will create real private sector jobs, as well as making sure they are real set-asides for African-American and local businesses to take advantage of this, of these projects. And that's why I know you and me and others, Janine and Sam, are for him. I believe in him.
And I support him, Mayor, because he's the first person in a long time that speaks to inclusiveness.
Yeah.
In all the areas that you mentioned, and he doesn't just speak to it, but he lays it out as to how he intends for it to happen.
Yeah.
See, it's not just like, oh, you know, we're going to come together and do A, B, C, D. He lays it out. Like, this is what I'm looking at. This is how I think this can work. What do you think? How do we do more to engage the people who have not been active or engaged in the game of politics? And not just politics, but policy. Policy is driven by legislators. And that policy determines funding, which happens from the county, right?
Yes, and the Senate and the feds.
That's right. And so there's a lot of things, and those are things that we're going to be talking about, you know, as we move forward and as we move closer to this election and throughout the summer. We're going to be reaching out to our families and friends to say, hey, take a look. Take a look at Dan Benson. Take a look at what Dan Benson is talking about. And yes, it absolutely was time for a change. Hands down.
You know, and without this being a Dan Benson thing, because it's not, and you know it, the opportunity is his campaign and hold him accountable. But the bigger opportunity, and you know this, is to get our community engaged and looking where we are. Bottom of the barrel in terms of the capital city in America, we have the most poverty and it's a capital city. We have the highest tax rate because of the state sits on all our property. We have no real investment that's going to create real jobs. And so if we come together and look at the problems of maternal health and how African-American women are more likely not to go full term with their child or low birth weight, to look at the statistics on how it's impacting African-Americans in Trenton and Mercer County, we take that and push a real agenda to the Bensons, to the governor, to the next governor, to city council, to the Senate, to assembly, and come together with a plan. And I know everybody talks about it, and it talks and then it goes away. I can tell you,
we're not going away.
Committed. You're committed, others are committed, and there's people, I don't want to start mentioning names, but
please don't. There are
people that are committed, and we bring together and make it happen. And our history dictates that we should. Our history here, going from Patton J. Hill, P.J. Hill, and, you know, Hedgepath Williams, and all the people, Lottie Dinkins, Dave Dinkins, all the people, we owe it to them, and I'm about it. You know, you'll see, and I ask that the listening audience and others work with us. We're going to make mistakes. You may not agree with everything, but at the end of the day, let's agree that we're going to work together and do what we're going to do.
Solidarity.
Let's do that.
It's about solidarity. It is about the best interests of the community. It is about an opportunity that is presenting now in a way that is never really presented, you know, in these types of elections, in county and state elections. And so we want to do everything we can to take advantage of it. Mayor, you've been great. I have a few more questions and then I have a surprise guest for you.
All right.
What's the strangest question you've ever been asked?
I don't know.
Did you die?
Oh, well, you're talking about, okay, one of the great things about being mayor, which I love, is the people. I you know, people say, were you going to miss being mayor? Not really, because I was always around people. But people say the darndest things to you. So, yeah. You know, a few years ago, this is before COVID, I'm in the CVS on Greenwood and Olden. And guy says to me, Doug Palmer. I said, yeah. He said, man, where you been? He said, I thought you were dead. I said, well, obviously I'm not dead. So then he said, I got a bone to pick with you. I'm like, oh, really? What is it? He said, how come you didn't come to my dad's funeral? And I thought for a second and I said, well, if you thought I was dead, why didn't you come to mine?
People really do say the most incredible things, strange things. But people can be strange, and in that strangeness, sometimes they bring good things and they bring an opportunity for you to laugh.
But you know, the good thing is when I was mayor and I'd be at the supermarket and people would ask me to help them, you know, or they'll look at what's in my cart. Is that good? And then, you know, sometimes people would say, don't you get tired of people always asking you to help them or they need a job or whatever? And I said, no, I never get tired of it. Because when they stop asking you, that means they don't feel you can do anything about it.
Right.
So, you know, I never minded it. And, man, I love being mayor. You know, when you're the first Black mayor of Trenton, and people don't realize how significant it was in 90, but there was a tremendous, not a burden, but it was just so important. You had people looking up to you, and you had to make sure you didn't let people down. There was a woman that was 85 years old, and when I ran in May, there was a story that she walked. She lived off Stuyvesant. She walked to Stokes School
to vote. Yeah.
When I heard that, when she voted for the, you know, in the runoff, we picked her up and I took her. But I never wanted to let people down. I never wanted to let people down, especially Black folks, because I didn't want, you know, be like, oh man, that guy wasn't no good. You just voted for his Black. But when I won for re-election against Betty Holland by 74%, it showed that even white folks and Latinos liked what I was doing, and I had a great cabinet, great staff. But
you know what, Mayor? Folks will never be able to say that we were perfect because we weren't, right? But our legacy will always speak for us in the work that we've done. I never get tired either of helping people. And I'm going to tell you why. And you made a great point. Because if we don't help us, there aren't many others who will. And so, in working together, in our effort to create solidarity in a way around Mercer County that's never been done before, it requires all of us, the young, the middle-aged, the millennials, the X, Y, G, the boomers. It requires everybody. But I believe, as you do, and I always have, that when you open the door and you give folks a chance, it absolutely makes a difference. And you've done that a lot. You're very visible now. You're very visible and you're doing some great things. And I, for one, am connected to some of those things. And I appreciate that because, you know, riding this thing until the wheels fall off to help us be where we need to be is what matters.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention I'm blessed to be and honored to be chairman of the Trenton Literacy Movement. Our president, Ed Bullock, who's fantastic, and our board, Gene Tunstall, and a lot of other people, Walter Bliss, and, you know, Barbara, Keith Hamilton.
You're going to forget some people.
And Eris and Yaz on the board. But what we do, and for the last 10 years, we raise money to have after-school programs for second graders, because 75% of third graders in the Trenton District and across the country, especially now after COVID, aren't reading on grade level. Reading on grade level. And from kindergarten to third grade, you learn to read. Third grade on, you read to learn. So when you have that many youngsters that can't read by third grade, it's a problem. And you see it happening with people dropping out and other things. So for the last 7 years, we've been involved in raising funds. We have a great partnership with the Trenton Board of Ed and Dr. Earl and Channing Conway and others.
And by the way, congratulations to Mr. Earl, the superintendent of Trenton Public Schools. He just, you know, solidified a 5-year contract, which means there's going to be some continuity for
that. And that's what we were missing. He's been outstanding. The district's been outstanding. We have about 380 youngsters, second graders, in our after-school program, 3 hours a week, with Trenton school system teachers who are fantastic. And they go over what they learned during the week. And we have seen improvements. Although, as you know, it was just reported, COVID really did a job. And if it did a job with majority students, you know what had happened to our students. But we're still working. And it's a great thing that I'm doing, along with Children's Future. So I'm active. And,
you're very active.
I enjoy it.
You're very active.
I become a genius after I stopped being mayor. See, I'm a genius now.
No, you're not.
Mistakes I made, I've learned from them.
We've certainly learned from our mistakes, as this new generation will. Learning from our mistakes is what's happening. So I want to wrap up here and I want to thank you. But before we do anything else, I'd like to bring on our surprise guest who wants to say hello. And there he is.
Mr. Palmer, how are you? It's Winston Mills, Mills. I'm Trenton Rotary Cloth, Dallas Cowboys. You brung me to my first Philadelphia Phillies game in Veterans Stadium when they had the first vet. You brung us to the game, yo, and I never forgot it, Mr. Palmer. To the piece of place when we won games, period, down St. Aiken. You brung us all over the place, man. You brung me to my store. When Chad Newsom hit me in the baseball, you brung me to my store on Calhoun Street. Yo, you were there for me. You know what I mean? You were there for me. You taught me how to kneel down and catch the ball. You said, get on one knee. I'm third base all day after Cardell went to the plate. He went to the plate. Cardell Parker, right? You said, get on one knee. I got on one knee. Ball. After that, you taught me everything about baseball. Love it. Still love it to this day, man. I don't know why other guys don't like it as much, but I love baseball. Like, I still love baseball, man. Still to this day.
Annette, oh my God, Winston's my man. You know, I am so blessed. I coached Little League for 18 years, and Winston McIntosh, the Newsoms, Credo Parker, I mean, little big man. I mean, 18. Matter of fact, Joe Richardson, who's my security, played James Tower. So, Winston, my man, I am so proud of you. And it just, I got goosebumps listening to Winston. He got honored a few months ago, too. It's well deserved. You know, these kids were everything. And Winston, we had a good team. I was a real coach, see. We had organized practices. I would take them to places. And who are we? Rotary on the victory. And they all played.
You know, that's my team. Tim Stackhouse, that's my team. Yeah. A lot of them. Butchie, what was Butchie last name?
Butch Bernay.
Butch.
I talked to Butch during the Trenton High School state championship. I got him on the phone and with Tony Burke. Tony Burke.
Yes. I haven't seen Butchie in years, but it's a whole bunch of players, man. Yeah, definitely Tone. I didn't forget him because he'll watch this and he'll scold me for not remembering his name. He called
me Tony Burke. I mean, yeah, Kelly Williams, Raheem Henderson, all the Newsoms.
Yeah, yeah. Chad, Jason, yeah. Wow,
Squire. Chad, Ryan, Mike Washington, who's a coach in Western Little League for the last 20 years, who's on the team. These young men now they're in their 40s, 50s. Because think about it, when I started coaching West End Little League, when I was 20, 21.
Right.
So some of these guys were 12. I was only 9 years older than them.
Right.
I was 40. So,
I never looked at your age. You just taught me, and you had that white Crown Vic. You'll take a back of that.
Mayor, you know? I told you it was going to be then and now, right?
Hey.
And I think what's most important for our audience to know is not only was Douglas H. Palmer a mayor, but he was also a member of the community who contributed. And I think that's important. And Winston is a testimony. Who's also a podcaster. Winston, let me give you a second here to shout out your podcast.
Yes, I'm the Winston Dramatic Show. I come on Sunday nights. I wanted to talk to you guys real quick. I didn't want to stay on that long, but I wanted to give you a shout out. But I want you to, I want to engage you. And I don't want to make, this is your show, so I'm respect it. But I wanted to talk to you guys. Like, you guys are the base of what I've seen. I've seen you guys. I grew up on you guys, right? Both of you. I seen you little, but I seen you worked in Little League at one side, but then I also seen the other side of you both working in City Hall, which was that's phenomenal, right? So, yeah. But I want you to correct me if I'm wrong on anything. Always correct me, right? This is what we should do: engage with each other in the city. This is how we can work. And everybody should be in a position to say, to be able to be like, yo, if I'm wrong, tell me, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's how we grow. So I just see you guys as monumental, man. I see both y'all as monumental, a heavy council seat, which is black. These is my people from around my way. My mayor is my coach from around my way. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't have that. Like, they don't have that in life. It's like some folks don't even know who they're voting for or who's the next person in position. All of my brown from around my way. So I'm like, yo, those are my scholars. I know it's a fight right now on the ground floor in the basement, but long as the base of it, the base of Trenton is sturdy, the height of it is high, like the Empire State Building. I take you guys like that. I think you high as tip of the Empire State Building. And that's what we are around here. We need you guys. We still need you guys.
We're not going anywhere.
Hey, Winston, we're going to be together. And I'm going to involve you. Put me on your podcast anytime and get more people. We want more voices to be involved in what we want to do. But you know, Cordelia State, God bless. She's a woman at large. She served with you.
Absolutely.
She was an umpire. Because her son, Terrell Staten, he was a big baller. He was not on my team. But so she was active as a parent. And then we couldn't have umpires. She was an umpire in the league. Yes. She was an umpire. She even threw me out. She threw me out of the game one time because I was a little too much.
I want to shout out, before we move on, I want to shout out Rachel Cogsville, who said... actually sent her to the games, and it was a babysitting opportunity for her. See, that's how we did it then. You know, we were a village, and I don't want the audience to miss this. Rachel, thank you. We were a village.
Rachel's brother, Don, was on my baseball team.
And that's right. That's my guy. And also, just remember that Trenton is bigger than I know maybe it's going through certain struggles, but that's in the basement of the building, which is a skyscraper that's crazy high, man. It's a lot of, you guys are monumental. You need your name on, not just plaques. I'm talking about like almost walks of fame in this area. And it's certain things that have changed the perspective of the kids in the area. It's always going to be a fight down low. I fought in elementary school as much, but I had to fight because it's tough love here. It's just like that. Trenton is like that. You taught me that, Mr. For you. You taught me. So even though you be educated, you showed
Winston. Winston, uh-huh. I can remember him so well. I mean, I tell you,
in the great dugout.
We're going to do this. And I'm so glad you got Winston on. That's my man. I tell you, that is my man.
Winston is a friend.
Yes.
He's a friend. And so I want to wrap up. I wanted to surprise you, Mayor, with the then and now. I want to thank Cordelia. Winston. I want to thank Rachel for coming on live. I promise you that others will view this, and the numbers in terms of who we reach and how we reach them will escalate. Mayor Palmer, I want to thank you for being involved. I want to thank you for re-engaging me in the process. And Winston, I want to thank you for always being a voice for the people.
Thank you. That matters.
Cordelia, thank you. Cordelia continues to move. She continues to map, and she continues to share. And so I want to thank you guys tonight for joining us here at Word on the Curb. We always have the opportunity to go live and let people know what we're doing. Winston, and your brother.
And your brother.
Yes.
Thank you. Mayor Palmer. A first in the city of Trenton in terms of an African American. Thank you. Thank your mom and thank your dad.
All right.
And all of those who helped us, John Watson, Reverend Woodson, Eleanor Rains, Mildred, to all of the folks, Hazel Stewart, who stood up and spoke out. We want to thank you tonight because it's on your shoulders that we stand and reach to the next generation. Mayor, I'm going to let you take us out, and then I'm going to give Winston a few words, and we're going to wrap it up.
There are some people, you forget Virginia Fagans, you know, Eleanor Gage and others. But I'm going to say this. Thank you, Annette, for doing what you're doing with this podcast and the people you're reaching out. And it's so good to see Winston and us. We're all in this together. And I'm committed, and we'll do that. Winston, let me know. You got my number. Call me. I'd like to be on your podcast. We want to increase what we're talking about and getting more people engaged in this community, because we got great people in this community. We just need to engage them. And that negative element, that small negative element, we'll deal with them. But they need to look at the positive stuff that's going on. And a lot of it, a lot of those people will react accordingly in a positive way. But God bless you. Thank you all. And this was a blast.
And so, you know, Mayor, with that, one of the things I want to follow up with before Winston closes us out is this. If somebody is telling you not to vote, they're part of the problem.
That's right. That's true.
Voting, consistently voting, going to the polls and encouraging your neighbors to go to the polls is how we shake and move this process. Legislation that impacts us. Come on, Winston.
Absolutely. All right. Take the bell for y'all. Thanks for viewing. Thanks for tuning in. Trenton is one of the best places to live on the planet, practically. Yeah. And we're building, still building. We have to engage more, like both Annette and Doug Palmer said. We want to live better. We want to have the best here. I mean, we come from great people. We got great stock. Both of these guys are great stock. Both of them teach me business and sports and stuff like that. This is a great place to be. You know what I mean? My time was one of the greatest times because I had those guys. Now, y'all, the generation behind me, you guys, and I'm not trying to come in competition, but y'all, you know, you got to yell out, holler out to who's your grown-ups and see what they can teach you guys. You know what I mean? But mine's, yeah. You know, the one who taught me was fantastic. I don't care what nobody say. I like Trenton. I love Trenton. The only place that I really, really know. And I mean, I'm happy just to be around these folks. Thanks. So thank y'all, and y'all have a good night.
I want to thank you guys for joining us. I am Annette, your host here at Word on the Curb. Remember, you can see us wherever podcasts are. but especially go to YouTube, hit the like, subscribe, and share button, and ring the bell. This is one of those times where we want you to put all of this business in the street. Thank you for joining us. Good night, Mayor. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Take care. Thank you. God bless.